Okay, I'd like to call to order the April 22nd meeting of the Architecture Committee of the Ville Carré Commission. The Deputy Director, please call roll to establish a quorum.
Yes, Mr. Fifield.
I'm present.
Mrs. Stewart.
Present.
Mr. Bergeron.
Present.
Sorry. Thank you.
Great. Well, we'll start with old business, 1039 Burgundy Street. We have an applicant present. Could we have the staff report, please?
Sure. 1039 Burgundy is a green rated main building and an orange rated service building and garage. This is a proposal to install decorative electric lighting in the courtyard. For application of materials received between May 27, 2022 and April 8, 2025. On April 8th, the committee approved the proposal to install four non-decorative downlight sconces in the courtyard. The applicant then submitted a revised proposal to install four 15-inch Bello Williamsburg electric sconces in the same location. The UCC design guidelines for decorative fixtures states that with the exception of seasonal decorative lights, all other decorative exterior lighting fixture types should be compatible with the building in terms of its style, type, and period of construction, limited in number to avoid cluttered appearance, located near a focal point of the building, such as a primary entrance door, installed in a manner that is harmonious with the building's design, such as evenly spaced on a balcony, gallery, or porch bay, or centered on or around an element such as a door, carriageway, or window, scaled appropriately for the proposed location, and constructed materials appropriate to the building's period. In keeping with the guidelines, the committee routinely denies the use of decorative fixtures, particularly copper sconces and pendants, in courtyards and non-public fronting spaces, as they historically were limited in use at prominent visible locations. Staff finds the previously proposed non-decorative fixtures to be more appropriate for the courtyard and recommends denial of the proposed sconces. Staff notes that the stop work order remains in place and no work may resume until all VCC sub-permits and the DSP master permits have been approved and issued. No revised submittals have yet been received following the April 8th committee review.
Great, thank you. And I'll note that I wasn't present for the April 8th meeting. Would you like to respond to the staff report or make a presentation?
Yes. If you look at these, and Emil, why don't you go first?
Sure. Emil Jane of Williams Architects. So these lights are going in the same locations that we talked about at the last meeting. It's our argument that they're not decorative fixtures.
These are about as simple double-O lights. They're copper on the edges, glass up against the wall in your courtyard. You can't even see them from the street. They're spaced evenly. I think they're, rather than putting a can light, painted to match the color of the building, or I think these should be available. I know these are guidelines, and I'm reading the guidelines, and I'm looking at what my client would like to have in their courtyard. We're taking this three-apartment. If this were three apartments, go for the can lights. This is a single-family house. They've changed three apartments into a single-family house, and they'd like to be able to have something that when they have gatherings in that courtyard, is going to be a nice looking fixture. It doesn't have to be decorative, really, what's that defined? It's much better than the lights that are there now, and you can see the two that are there now, the spotlights. So we respectfully request that we be able to substitute these can light fixtures that are all over the French Quarter that we've been approved for years for a Bevelo fixture.
Great, thank you. Committee, any questions for the applicant or for the staff about this proposal? Again, I'm not familiar with the approval that was made on April 8th, so.
The only approval for as far as lighting goes that was made on April 8th was the front door, a gas, at the very front entry, a gas light fixture.
So on April 8th, we reviewed an application to install can sconces in these same locations. And the ones that were submitted were an uplight and a downlight, which is why they came to committee. We approved downlight only because that was what was compatible with the guidelines. That same day, there was a submittal for these fixtures instead, which also required committee review because they are decorative. So that's why we're coming back.
Great. Okay. Thank you. So committee, questions?
question for the staff. Have we ever approved a non-decorative light that's not a can? Is there an example of a light that's
We have. Normally, it's something that is very simple in geometry and that's painted out or finished to match the adjacent surface so that it's not attracting any attention to itself. It's just light that is attracting attention to the building feature that it is above or adjacent to.
I also think we have regularly denied
at other places.
Well, yeah. You know, the thing I can note about this is that they aren't the kind of carriage house fixture. They're not on a hoop or a, they're more flush mounted. And they aren't necessarily associated with kind of old-fashioned French Quarter aesthetic, which I think is maybe a mitigating factor.
And but, they are electric. Not gas.
Could I ask for public comment before we go much further?
Yeah.
Is there any public comment on this proposal? I see no public comment, so let's just keep talking.
I don't object to this.
I think I would describe it as non-decorative if it didn't have that little swoopy vent at the top, which seems kind of like an anachronism that's been tacked on to the fixture.
If it was just square, you mean?
If it was just a rectilinear extrusion with, you know, glass panels on three sides or five sides even.
Is that something that you could entertain?
Look into?
A simpler, non-decorative fixture that was made out of copper and had three sides with the electric light bulb in, but less
without stuff
the
little
at the top.
Mansard roof on top.
Well, if it weren't curved and just went straight up and it didn't have those little whatever that is.
Yeah, I'm not familiar with this particular manufacturer, but there must be somebody out there that makes a fixture like that.
Bevelo will make anything.
They can make anything.
Yeah.
Okay, there you go.
Bevelo will make anything.
So without the top hat.
Yeah. Well, is there any other discussion? Because I think that's a great suggestion. Is there anything you'd like to say before we go to a motion?
No, I mean, if you all... we appreciate it if you approve it, and then, you know, we'll make every effort to try and accommodate whatever your approval is.
Cool.
But
okay.
On the other hand, you know, we're
we
think this is pretty simple.
Is that
it's not so gas.
Bevelo will build anything
there
you
there
ask.
There is one. It's called the
Modernist Flush Mount.
Modernist Flush Mount. They make one.
Okay. So, is there a motion in the matter of 1232? I can't even see 1239.
1039
Burgundy Street. I can't see.
Sure. In the matter of 1039 Burgundy, I move to deny the proposed sconces, recommending a similar Bevelo product that does not include the decorative top hat, mansard roof element, noting that staff has identified a Bevelo product that would be considered non-decorative.
Thank you. Is there a second for that motion?
I second.
All in favor say aye.
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 Motion passes.
Thank you.
Thank you.
What was the name of that?
Modernist.
941 St. Philip Street. Do we have an applicant present?
Yes.
We do. Could we have the staff report, please?
Sure. 939-341 St. Philip is an orange-rated main building with a brown-rated garage. This is a proposal to modify the approved lighting plan and roof structure for application and materials received May 28, 2024 and March 31, 2025, respectively. The overall renovation of this property was permitted on October 31, 2024, and work is well underway. The applicant proposes revisions to the approved plans as follows. The roof structure, the roof framing of the brown-rated garage was irregular in height and had a significant drop in section closer to earth line. Originally, the plans called for replacement of the roof with the framing to be retained. Satellite imagery from February-March 2025 shows that all of the framing has been demolished. The applicant proposes to rebuild the entire roof to the highest point of the previously existing structure, giving it a uniform slope. The walls and parapets will retain the existing overall height. As there is no visual impact or substantive height increase proposed, staff recommends approval. Lighting. The approved lighting plan calls for Rimcraft can lights be installed on the abatement over each opening on the Burgundy and St. Philip elevations. The applicant is now proposing a total of 10 21-inch French cord gooseneck gas sconces by Bevelo, including one at the carriageway door. The BCC design guidelines for decorative lighting state that decorative light fixtures should be limited in number to avoid a cluttered appearance and located near a focal point of the building, such as the primary entrance door. Staff advised the applicant that a total of two wall-mounted fixtures flanking the primary entrance on St. Philip could potentially be found approvable, but the number of fixtures and their locations are not compliant with the guidelines as proposed. Additionally, gas fixtures do not provide comparable light output, so the complete elimination of the rimcraft fixtures is not likely to provide the light levels needed for security purposes. Staff recommends denial of the current lighting proposal, suggesting that the applicant revise their proposal to limit the number of decorative fixtures to two at the main entrance, with all other openings to retain the approved rimcraft downlights. Also note, too, that this particular fixture is also fairly decorative with the gooseneck and that element, so staff would recommend some restraint with that as well.
Great, thank you. Would you like to state your name and address in relationship to the property, please?
Catherine Harmon, L.K. Harmon Architect, 6238 Arlon Boulevard.
Thank you. Do you have a presentation or response to the staff report you'd like to share with us?
Yes, I concur with everything Aaron said about the roof framing. As far as lighting, my clients really want the Bevelo gas lanterns, very similar to this applicant. They're not married to this particular one as much, but they like the traditional look, and it's really hard for me to explain to them that the BCC guidelines don't like these Bevelo fixtures. They're like, why? And it's great. Anyway, neither here nor there. I would have to go back to them to say, is it okay to reduce the number of them and change the exact fixture? Or maybe add back in some rimcrafts to address the concern of not being enough light. So I really can't say any more without conferring with them.
Okay. Well, let me make one clarification. It's not that we don't like Bevelo fixtures. We just don't like them to be arrayed all over a building. The guidelines are very clear about how decorative fixtures can be used or should be used. And there is also very clear about how to provide exterior lighting in a non-figurative fashion, just like the previous application. The better, if you need more light on the street side of this building, there are many, many appropriate ways to add lighting that don't involve decorative fixtures, especially in this case where you're providing gas fixtures, which aren't really going to have any light associated with them.
They just want. It's hard for me to...
Well, then we'll provide almost certainly some direction from the commission.
I know what you're saying about the guidelines, and that's why I designed it with room graphs over each opening center, just like the guidelines show, and I'm very aware of the guidelines.
I don't think, as Aaron stated, that we have a problem with it at the entry or perhaps at the garage. So I think there's some compromise here.
Yeah, I think two or three, especially, you know, if they're appropriately sized and a little bit more simply detailed, especially since this is a French Quarter Revival structure. This is not a historic building. But I think that you can let them know that within 6 months of them moving in, they're really going to want to have light on Burgundy.
These are people that work insane hours. They're two surgeons, correct?
Yes.
They leave when it's dark. They come home when it's dark. And I'm telling you, as someone that lives 3 blocks away, they're going to want light on that corner. Someone's going to slip in the garage behind them or something. Yeah.
Okay. Committee, any questions for the applicant or for the staff about this proposal?
No.
No, I think the staff's recommendation is reasonable.
Okay. Is there any public comment on this proposal? I see no public comment. Is there any other discussion from the committee? Do you have to say anything before we go to a motion?
Yes, a question. If I were to confer with my client to make it two or three gas lanterns at the garage and at the main entrance and then supplement with rim crafts, would I need to come back to the committee?
I don't think so.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Is there a motion in the matter of 941 St. Philip Street?
Yes, in the matter of 941 St. Philip, I move to approve the proposed revisions to the roof framing plan and to defer the lighting proposal to allow the applicant an opportunity to revise the proposal based on today's discussion, noting that a proposal that meets the guidelines could be approved at the staff level.
Thank you. Is there a second for that motion?
A second.
All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. The motion passes. Thanks for coming. You have the next item as well, I believe.
Oh, yeah.
742 Barrack Street. Are
yes.
you here for that? Okay.
Yes.
Do we have a staff report, please?
Sure. 742 Barrack is a green-rated main building with a brown-rated rear shed. Was it proposed to demolish the existing garage structure and construct a new garage structure in the same footprint? Application materials received January 30th and April 2nd, 2025, respectively. The Architectural Committee has previously approved the concept masking location of the new garage building. There were still some details the committee wanted to see again. The applicant submitted some revised plans that address questions on the Bourbon Street and Barrack Street elevations of the new building. On Bourbon Street, there has previously been questions regarding the wall treatment above the garage door. The applicant submitted two options to attempt to address this space. This first option shows an 8-inch tall stucco lintel projecting about 3/4 inches away from the wall above, expanding slightly wider than the garage door below. At staff's recommendation, a second option was included that features a 1-inch stucco recess measuring about 7 feet 4 inches wide by 1 foot 10 inches tall. The recess helps to break a foot tall wall area above the garage door. The light location within the recess may need to be adjusted slightly if this option is pursued further. Additional details have been submitted for the garage door itself, showing what appears to be a typical insulated garage door behind 4-inch wide vertical tongue and groove heated boards. The garage door also features an 8-inch by 16-inch square painted steel wire mesh flood vent near the bottom of the door. Moving to the Barrack Street elevation of the garage, a matching flood vent is seen on its elevation. In order to accommodate the flood vent, the wall section has been widened on the side of the folding doors. Staff finds the asymmetrical condition of this elevation slightly atypical, but given that this is a courtyard-facing elevation of new construction, the off-center opening may be approvable. This application still requires view for a commission review, and unfortunately the commission meeting was canceled when this application was scheduled for review. Still, staff is pleased with the development of the overall design. Staff recommends conceptual approval of the application and requests commentary from the committee regarding any preferences for the treatment of the Bourbon Street elevation.
Thank you. Would you like to state your name and address again for the record?
Catherine Harmon, L.K. Harmon Architects, 6238 Audubon.
Do you have a presentation you'd like to make or a response to the staff report?
Just looking for feedback on which of the two options were presented for the Barrack Street elevation. If y'all would prefer, my client is okay with either one of them.
Okay, thank you. Committee, any comments on option one or option two? It's okay if I start?
Please.
Okay. You're showing amazing restraint here. And this is going to be fabricated out of wood frame with a stucco finish?
Yes.
That's correct? Is there any reason why you're being so minimal with this surface treatment?
It's a garage. You
know,
it's not trying to
okay,
shine the main building.
That's fair.
I know that that's the philosophy. So.
But when I look at the existing garage, it has a really beautiful little molding band on it. It has a little string course. The doors are paneled. There actually was some effort made to provide some decorative context for this small construction. I'm just surprised that you haven't been a little bit more free with ideas about how to kind of accommodate the increased height of the building on the street elevation. Committee, what do you think?
I agree. It seems very prefab.
If it's wood frame, is stucco the most appropriate cladding for it, or would another material make sense?
It's corrugated metal right now.
Except on the street front.
Except for this,
which is wood.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So I totally appreciate your owner's interest in kind of improving this construction, and I don't think that we've had any issue at all with replacing the construction. It's more just how, I guess, when you change the proportion of the street facade and created this large space above the door, that it was kind of a game changer in terms of how it's presented to the street. And I just think there's an opportunity here for some design, which I'm really not seeing in either one of these options.
I mean, I think that the bottom line is that parapet just seems overwhelming to the rest of the structure, and we would hope to see it broken up some.
Well, it's that height to try to help hide the AC units.
We understand.
Right, we get that. But that doesn't preclude design gestures.
Even a portal that would match that wall would help out, I think, quite a bit, especially with just the way the stucco is going to weather from having a drip edge.
You know, one thing that we might be able to do, because I, again, you're going to be going to the commission for kind of the general approval
here. Yeah.
But I think what Aaron just said is probably a perfect response to my comments. Would the committee be willing to let the applicant work with the staff to gussy this up a little bit?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sure.
Okay. Is there any public comment about this proposal? I see no public comment. Public is very silent today. Okay.
I would just add to Aaron's suggestion another direction that you might go looking at, just kind of conceptually in plan. You've got two CMU walls making an L, and then all the rest of it looks like it's wood framed, or it might have, I guess it's just wood framed. And there's big openings in that wood frame, but maybe the way that the building is expressing itself on the outside changes too, because it has a different structure. Maybe there's a different material than stucco. I'm not opposed to the stucco on all four sides, but and in terms of making the building more interesting, maybe getting a design award, you could consider alternate materials too. I think that's also an option. Do you all agree with that?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
So,
can they give a design awards for garages?
We can hope.
Why not?
Really, really good, transformative garages. Would you like to add anything or make any response to our comments before we go to a motion? I mean, what we're trying to do is provide a way that you don't have to come back and talk to us again. So
yes,
I hope you appreciate that.
I appreciate that. That's one of my goals.
Okay. So the only way you'd end up coming back to talk to us is if you can't satisfy staff. So, but I think we have a clear direction. We've kind of provided this direction in the past, but now the incentive is that you don't have to come back and talk to us if you satisfy the staff.
Okay, we'll come up with a couple of more options and send them to staff.
Great, thank you. Is there a motion in the matter of 742 Barrack Street.
Yes, in the matter of 742 Barracks, I move to conceptually approve the proposal with the applicant to work with the staff on revised exterior expression based on today's discussion.
Thank you. Is there a second for that motion?
I second.
All in favor say aye.
Aye.
The motion passes. Thank you for coming in. Next item is 229 Royal Street. I think we have an applicant present. Yes, we do. Could we have a staff report, please?
Sure. 29 Royal is a green-rated building. The staff proposed to renovate the building, including installation of a new affordable storefront. Application materials received September 18th, 2024, and April 25th, respectively. This application was last before the Architecture Committee at the January 28th meeting, where the committee granted conceptual approval, noting the stipulation of cast iron columns being key to the design concept for restoring the ground floor. The applicant has submitted revised materials with the proposal to use alternative materials, including aluminum plates and fiberglass capitals. Staff is concerned about this change of material to one that is not authentic or matching the historic storefronts of neighboring buildings. Although the design guidelines recommend replacing a missing storefront feature, They also note that the BCC does not allow installing an inappropriate building material at the storefront. Staff finds the use of aluminum panels at the columns less problematic compared to the proposed fiberglass capitals. Staff suggests that if these capitals could be sourced or produced in cast aluminum, this may be an acceptable alternative to cast iron, but ultimately defers to the committee regarding preferred materials. Staff recommends denial of the alternative materials as proposed, with the applicant to revise the proposal to feature more typical material.
Thank you. Would you like to state your name and address in relationship to the property?
Yes, it's John Rupley, an architect. It's 1700 Josephine Street, Suite 201.
Will you speak today, sir?
So my bricks on the 25-27 degree avenue. But I'm representing this.
The owner. You're representing the owner?
Yes.
Okay, thank you.
Did you say Mike Ricks? I'm sorry, R-I-C-K-S?
Yes, ma'am.
Thank you.
Do you have a presentation or response to the staff report?
Yes. So originally we came here proposing cast iron for the column capital and the shaft of the these pilasters. Problem with sourcing cast iron, so we're proposing an alternative material, aluminum, and then fiberglass for our capital.
So I'd like to add that the columns, the capitals, are stamped steel. They're in very bad shape. So I had proposed, I talked to the neighbor next door who would allow me to cast the capital that's partial, and doing so, redoing his capitals as well. It is a GFRC product. It's not a fiberglass product. It is a stone cast product. So that was misrepresented in our latest drawing. But if that's acceptable, we can do that. If not, we'll have to go to California to get them.
It seems unlikely.
It's like cast iron.
It does look. Yes, I agree.
Okay, thank you. Committee, any questions for the applicant or the staff about this proposed material change?
So I think when we first looked at this, we were very insistent that what was going to be the most important thing if you wanted to return this storefront was going to be the detailing and materials of your design. The capitals are cast steel and not cast iron?
They're stamped up and they're rotting.
They're stamped.
So are you telling me that the column itself is not cast iron?
No.
This is the building next door, too.
Right. We got it.
The columns are made with the concrete, block or porous concrete.
We're talking about
the top portion.
The capitals.
Yeah, the capitals are made with stamped steel. And you can see if you review the pieces next door in any photographs that they are, in fact, rotting. It is a stamped steel product. So it's not a cast iron product. It's not something that's going to last the test of time any longer than it already has because its life is, without its maintenance,
so
it's reached its lifespan.
So this is a question for staff. I mean, I have never encountered a stamped steel facade treatment. I've seen...
Neither have I. That's
what
I'm looking at.
You just kind of left us. I mean, I've been doing this for a long, long time. And I've never heard of this product at all.
So this is the column he's talking about?
Yeah.
Well, essentially every building on this row is identical in terms of the columns. Some are wider, some are skinnier.
Sure.
They all have columns, but I don't believe that they're stamped steel.
I have.
That all of them
How old is this building? I mean,
talking about 231, let's be clear.
Yeah. But let's say the age of the building itself is...
The row dates to circa 1856.
Okay, that's cast iron land. It's not steel land at all. I mean...
Yeah.
They didn't use steel. I mean, it's just...
It could have been replaced.
I'm having a real hard time wrapping my head around the idea that these are stamps steel.
Well, it could be cast in a very thin cast. It's breaking apart. I have a photo here.
I also know that this entryway is new. So I'm wondering if that column...
That particular column.
That particular one.
Not the
exactly.
row.
Because this entire entryway is new.
Right.
So I don't. I would have to go back and look at... I can't remember what was approved here. If these are new columns?
I would just look. I just would show you this photo here. I don't know if you can see that.
Definitely not.
I mean, I understand, but it could also be pulling away from the building.
Has the staff been out to look at this?
This is broken on the corner. The piece is missing.
So I don't know. I can't tell if it's historic or...
So I think that the initial comment that Ms. Stewart made is kind of key to this consideration. You know, we have a substantial elevation here, which is kind of well integrated with the alterations to the second floor of the building. And the idea of returning the ground floor to some semblance of its original appearance, leaving the second floor in place, was really contingent on a restoration, which included the materiality of those columns. So I'm having difficulty really appreciating. And we also, at that time, in response to your concept, said the difficulty of sourcing cast iron columns is great. Do you appreciate that difficulty? And you acknowledge that. So I'm kind of surprised that we're being asked to consider an alternate material for a restoration. I'm having difficulty with that.
Can I just intervene? In your guidelines, you're allowed GFRC as an alternative source material, I believe. I'm not speaking out of times. So, yeah.
Are you looking at the VCC guidelines or the HDLC guidelines? Because they're completely different.
Like I said, I believe. I'm not positive. I don't sit on the board, but we've used this material in other areas.
So in the French Quarter?
In the French Quarter, yes, ma'am.
So I mean, I think what the ARC is saying, and John, we were very, very clear about this a year ago, 6 months ago, that the materials, I mean, the minutes speak for themselves, but the materials had to be...
Right. I understand. Well, yeah. I'll offer
they're
up
not there. Against the. They're not against this. But yeah. The materiality was like a big part of this whole conversation, and
right.
And you weren't here, so I.
Well, right. If
y'all are opposed to the comm capital being out of fiberglass, would y'all be opposed to not having a capital at all, as is like 221 Royal?
I mean, I think. I don't think we can speak to something we don't have a proposal.
This is a picture of 221 Royal. It's the same column, same sort of columns designed without the column capitals.
So the other thing that I'd just like to ask is that your elevations show the development of profile in the column itself, but your details don't show how you're developing the recessed panel and the molding that goes inside the corner of the column. Again, there's nothing in your detail drawings to suggest that we're going to get anything more than a square aluminum box.
As an inset panel on the front to match the piece that's here.
But I'm not seeing that in the drawing. I'm seeing it in elevation, but I'm not seeing it in the detail.
I think the point is we were pretty clear from the beginning that there is an existing elevation here that is unique. It doesn't match its neighbors, which gives it some additional historical value rather than recreating something that no longer exists. And if you're going to go back and recreate, then you need to recreate. I think that was our pretty clear message initially.
Well said.
I have a couple comments.
Sure, please.
Just to add to the conversation, I think there was a question about the existing structure behind this facade and how that would relate mm-hmm. to any intervention. Have you been able to get back there and look and see what we have to determine?
Oh, no.
Okay, all right.
Because our speculation was that there's a large beam just above the head mm-hmm. of those windows, which is actually supporting masonry. And so the amount of demolition you'd have to do here might be considerable to accomplish this detail.
Or it just might change your proposal, how you approach the whole thing. And then also, I'm looking at slide 65, which kind of shows this facade in context. And now looking at it in context, you got on one side a building that terminates in one of these cast iron columns, and another building on the other side that terminates in a cast iron column. And since your drawings don't show those in context, I'm not clear how are the new columns you're proposing would interface with those columns, or if a column is even needed next to those columns.
It would just be two central columns.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. So then the drawing might be just a little bit off in terms of the location of those end columns, because they're really outside of the boundaries of the facade. They're more...
So it essentially would be this one. Yeah.
And that might...
Well, he does note them as the existing columns. It is correct.
Okay. So yeah, we're just talking about two columns. I do think a lot of it hinges on what's existing there and what the art of the possible is based on the way the structure's been monkeyed around with.
Why haven't you gotten in there?
Excuse me?
Why haven't you gotten in there to see? Do you not have access to the building?
I don't have access
to it. So we're just...
We're seeing to see if my owner is able to do what he wants.
Well, I don't know that we are ever going to be able to give you an answer without you getting permission to go inside that building. Because I think they're okay with the concept. The materials, they're not sure about, but you don't even know that that's going to work. I feel like this is all a little...
I have photos.
Of the inside?
Yes, ma'am.
Then that would be helpful for the next.
Okay. So I'm going to ask if there's any public comment about this proposal. I see no public comment. I think that it may be useful for the staff to meet with the applicant to kind of figure out what these photographs might be showing that I can't see. And to really look at how these two columns might actually be detailed, since the detail drawings don't suggest restoration. Does the committee agree with that?
Yeah, and I guess another thought that's occurring to me is that if we're having a really hard time replicating historic materials, then maybe we should go back to thinking about how to re-envision this facade in a more contemporary way.
All right. That's why I was bringing up 221 Oil.
Okay. Well,
they had a proposal keeping, I guess, the shaft of the existing columns with removing the capitals.
Okay. So no conclusions at this time. So committee, is it time for a motion?
Sure. In the matter of 229 Royal, I move to defer this matter to allow the applicant to further develop the proposal based on today's discussion.
Thank you. Is there a second for that motion?
A second.
All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Motion passes. Right.
Thank you.
Thank you. We're going to move on to 1025 St. Louis Street. Mm-hmm. Do you have an applicant present? Thank you.
1025 St. Louis is a blue-rated main building. This is a proposed to construct a new in-ground swimming pool in the side yard. Application materials received March 1st and April 15th, 2025, respectively. The setting and location of a new pool in this property were conceptually approved at the March 25th Architecture Committee meeting. It's a committee requesting that staff conduct a site visit and that additional drawings be submitted for return to the committee. The applicant submitted additional drawings on April 15th, and staff was able to visit the property on the same day.
Excellent.
Information regarding the pool itself is consistent with the previously submitted information, and the drawings help to clarify some of the details. Staff finds the pool itself consistent with the recommendations of the guidelines. The drawings help to clarify some of the information regarding the pool equipment location and the hardscape around the pool. The equipment is shown in an area of the yard set 3 feet from both the side and rear property lines. Staff confirmed during the site visit that this area is minimally visible from any locations and optimal for mechanical equipment, provided there are not any issues with any mechanical codes. The hardscaping work is more substantial than originally realized and includes the removal of existing stone in the area from the street to the proposed new pool area and the installation of new Pennsylvania bluestone in its place. Staff suspects that all existing paving on this property dates to the early 90s renovation. The area where this new bluestone is proposed is approximately the same area that featured the inappropriate service station garage building prior to its demolition in the late 1980s. A separate area in the front of the service cell currently features stone paving. The applicant proposed to remove this paving and install a new St. Louis brick in its place. Again, staff suspects this paving dates to the early 90s renovation, as photos prior to the renovation show this area overgrown. Finally, the existing stone in the area of the pool will be removed and additional St. Louis brick installed. Staff finds the proposed paving materials consistent with the guidelines and approvable. This application still requires BPRA Commission review, and unfortunately the Commission meeting was canceled and this application was scheduled for review. Still, staff is pleased with the development of the overall design and recommends approval of the proposal with the application to be forwarded to the Commission for review.
Thank you. Would you like to state your names, addresses, and relationships to the property, please?
My name is Mike Stanton. I'm the owner of the company, and I have no relation to the property except other than to build a pool for the customer.
Okay.
Hi, I'm Michael Jr.
Okay.
Nick.
I'm sorry?
Nick Stan. Was your last time?
Yes, you were.
Yeah.
Okay, well, you came up to speed just like we asked you. Thank you so much.
Yep.
Committee, any questions for the staff or the applicant? Or would you like to say anything before we start talking? Okay. Any questions for the applicant or for the staff about the proposal?
No, thank you for providing the extra information we asked for. And it's great to see this house
great
in
house.
The works. Yeah, it really is.
That's
going to
be real nice. Slide 94. Staff, what is this Stonescapes Mini Pebbles French Gray Mini?
That's in the pool, right?
Correct me if I'm wrong, but yeah, that's the inside.
Right. What's the interior finish?
That's like the inside of the wall, right?
Yeah.
Yeah,
the top.
You're walking
Okay.
At the
water line.
Right.
The water line.
Okay. All underwater.
We've actually approved this in other places. I like it.
So it's that and then plaster below that.
That's the plaster.
But like shotcrete or
correct.
Whatever.
Correct.
Yeah.
There's gunite and then that's on top of the base that you're going to walk on and feel.
Right.
It
kind of
looks like a
pumice
stone.
Yeah.
The only thing we've had samples in here for other.
There's usually a tile at the water line.
That's what this is.
Correct. There's a tile and then the
plaster.
Correct.
Okay. Is there any public comment about this proposal?
Again?
I'm asking the public if there's any comment about the proposal. I'm not asking you.
Okay.
I see no public comment. That's just a formality.
Yeah.
So, committee, any other questions for the applicant? Would you like to say anything before we go to a motion? You have a recommendation for approval, so being quiet is probably the best. Okay. Is there a motion in the matter of 1025 St. Louis Street?
Yes, in the matter of 1025 St. Louis, I move to conceptually approve the proposal with any final details to be worked out at the staff level.
Could I have a second for that motion?
A second.
All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Motion passes. Thanks for coming in.
Thank you all.
And it still has to go to commission, which is May 14th. But that should be a formality. You can email.
Okay, next item is 327 Bourbon Street. Oh, thank you. Okay, we have an applicant present. Could we have the staff report, please?
327 Bourbon is a blue-rated building. This is proposed to install new tension cable guardrail behind existing historic railings. Clarification materials received April 8th and April 14th, 2025, respectively. A new application has been filed to adjust the railings at the second floor and third floor balconies on Bourbon Street elevation. And at the rear connecting stairs between the main building and the service. all these existing additions are efficient in terms of building code, and any work to these elements was specifically omitted from previous proposals for the overall renovation. The existing second floor balcony guardrail features a bow and arrow design and is an important feature of this blue-rated building. The existing railing design, however, comes nowhere near satisfying the four inch sphere rule of building code. In order to satisfy this requirement and allow for the use of the balcony, the applicant proposed two different options for a horizontal tension cable system to be installed behind the historic rail. The first option would utilize one-by-one painted steel installed directly behind the railing and welded to the historic rail at the top to provide additional support. The second option would feature larger 1.5 by 1.5 framing, but would be completely freestanding and independent of the historic rail. The freestanding rail is shown as setback 1 inch from the historic rail. Both proposed rails would feature 7 horizontal tension cables to satisfy the 4-inch rule. The only other proposed work for this guardrail is the addition of a half-inch metal plate on top of the existing railing. Staff questions if this element would be replacing an existing element or is being proposed to gain slightly more height for the railing. Staff appreciates the difficulty in bringing this guardrail to code and believes the proposed tension cables would be minimally visible behind the rail. Of the two options provided, staff strongly prefers the railing that would be independent of the main railing. The guardrails at the third floor balconies are of a different design and come much closer to satisfying the 4-inch requirement, but still feature gaps that are too large. Additionally, the existing guardrail height is only 35.5 inches, so adding height is also required. To satisfy code, the applicant proposed a similar steel framework with horizontal tension cables. Only 4 cables are shown in this system. A top rail comes up 6.5 inches above the existing top of the railing. The additional rail is noted as being welded to the stored railing at the verticals. Staff typically prefers these kinds of added rails to be independent of the stored rails. Staff finds the concept of this guardrail potentially approvable, but recommends revisions so that it is independent of the historic rail. Alternatively, if these balconies are small in size and located at the third floor level, staff questions how necessary they are to the overall operation of the building. If there was no access to these balconies, these railings could remain as is. At the stairs connecting the rear reconstruction to the rear service aisle, the previously existing rail did not meet modern building code. The Architecture Committee reviewed a proposal at the March 12, 2024 meeting that proposed relocating the historic rail upwards so that the top of the rail would be at code-required height. Additional materials were proposed for installation under the historic rail to have a fully code-compliant railing. The applicant now proposed to essentially stretch the historic design to fill the entire height. The plans include a note to match historic proportions and shape and profile. There's also a note about salvaging the top and bottom portions of the railing for use in the new railing, but the crisscross design would all be new material. Comparing these drawings to the ones reviewed in 2024, the now proposed railing elements appear to be much thicker than the documented historic pieces. Staff also notes that photographs appear to show this work has already been done. The new railing certainly lacks a lot of the detailing of the previously existing, including the gentle curve of the top and bottom rails and lightness of the intermediate pieces. Still, given the location of this rail and the fact that work has already been completed, staff finds the proposed alternative potentially approvable. Staff requests commentary from the committee regarding these proposed rail modifications.
Great, thank you. Would you like to state your name and address in relationship to the property?
Miles Martin, 1000 Norman C. Francis, architect.
Do you have a presentation or response to the staff report you'd like to share with us?
Yes, good afternoon, everybody. Thank you for taking time to hear this project. Right, with three kind of items in discussion right here, the second floor balcony rail, the third floor balcony rails, and the rear handrail system. In review of the staff report on the feedback on the second floor railings, where we provided two options of a welded supported rail or an independently freestanding rail, we take no objection to the freestanding independent supported railing. A comment was mentioning questioning the half inch delta at the top of the rail, whether the newly installed half inch on top of that rail would replace that top member in whole or be attached to on top of that existing member. Right now, the way we are looking at it would be an additional piece of metal on top of the rail added to make up that one, to make up that half inch delta. The only other kind of idea we were kicking around a little bit is to just shim up the whole railing system as a whole by half an inch. As you can see, the bottom connections of the railing to the balcony system right there, right there at the corner post, and then the intermediate connection is, it doesn't fall in line with any of the railing elements. They're more of like little stubs that allow for the attachment of the railing system itself. Kind of some of the concerns with raising the rail up is the workability of that material, that close to the existing wood deck, just to achieve a half inch raise on there. But certainly would be interested in hearing feedback of the more approachable solution on that one.
Okay, committee.
Just to interrupt real quickly, I know that SHPO prefers, I know you're getting tax credits, or it's subject to, they prefer it to be freestanding.
Yeah, of course.
Agreed.
Yeah.
So just putting that,
Yeah.
And not altering, lifting the rail, or, you know what I mean?
I have a point, too, about the tension cable. And Nick, tell me if there's anything that I've missed, too, while I was out. But I've only ever seen one other application recently that took this approach, and it was at the request of BBSA. BBSA were the ones who actually suggested the use of the tension cable. I don't think we've actually seen this installed yet, right?
That one, wasn't it Kevin Harmon's?
Was the 441, which was also an Erica Gates BBSA application. And I don't know if maybe this is something where we could see a mock-up, because I'm a little bit concerned that it's going to be more visible than maybe we think it might be. Because we haven't seen it yet.
I can confirm that railing was installed
at
that address.
At 441?
Yes, I don't have pictures. Okay. I don't have photos. Just for reference.
Maybe we've never noticed it.
Subtle.
Well, no, I think there was a...
What is the address, 441?
441 Royal.
Royal, okay.
Yeah. No.
Okay.
Well, I mean, if you go back to like basic preservation principles, the freestanding rail is reversible. We're not touching the blue-rated rail. And so I think on a conceptual basis, you are fine. We need to bring the rail up to code, and we can't tell somebody not to use
their balcony.
And I like the idea of seeing these tension, you know, us being able to see them combined.
Mm-hmm.
This is a rather
neutral. So the question of the third floor and providing that topping rail to get you up to 42 inches, how deep is the balcony at that location? I think it's probably dimensioned. It's not dimensioned.
Yeah, there's no dimension, so I'd just be saying off the top of my head, shallow, you know, 3 feet.
Okay.
It doesn't even look that deep.
It's hardly inhabitable.
And I'm sorry, is third floor also used for the bar, or is this offices? I can't remember. I've been up there.
Third floor is private rooms.
Okay.
So I do understand the question is that it could remain as is if there's no use. Honestly, we've never contemplated that.
I didn't
remember.
Private rooms.
And Renee, from an architectural point of view, this was a continuous gallery at one point that was cut into little balconitas.
I can't remember. I think there was.
At the third?
Oh, no, not at the third.
It was always little individual balconies.
Yes, individual little balconies.
Wow. Nice, because the guardrails, the historic guardrails return.
They're lovely.
Yeah. Okay, committee. I can ask for public comment if that will help us along. Any public comment on the proposal for 327 Bourbon Street? I don't see anything.
And don't forget the rear.
Yeah. So I'm thinking on the third floor, the height of the building could mitigate the
visual layering.
Visual layering a little bit. What do you think, Stephen?
That was my sense for it.
Okay. because when I look at this detail, you just have a top bar and then the strands coming through. There's no other horizontal element aside from the one at 42 inches. Is that correct?
Correct, due to the width of those balconies.
Yeah, so it's small. Okay. Then let's talk about the
rear.
Can I go back and ask on paint colors too? Because and I know it's not in here, and I know that's a separate paint permit on there. Just I was trying to understand, is it the appropriate color of the new railing to when we have a back set of a brick masonry versus?
So I know we had this problem at 740 Royal. Normally we would tell you to paint the rail addition, the new rail, the color of the wall, but
I don't think so.
Well, it worked really well at from 600 block of Royal, but not with the masonry. It's better if it's black. Yeah, but I don't know. Now, I'm saying that with the rail, I have no idea about the tension cable. Tension cable may be more obvious if it's black. I don't know. We could test that out, though.
Yeah. That would be a mock-up.
Yeah, let's do a mock-up.
Yeah, you could mock that up.
Okay, how about the stair rail at the rear service wing? Has it been changed? Is it already constructed?
It has already been constructed. That railing was installed without notification to me as well, so it was news to me. I learned late in the process and near to this application date. I understand
right too here.
The questions on detailing, and I understand the only photo provided is small and far away. I think that closer up photos will help to understand some of the detailing on it. I was informed that the top and bottom rail are original. Obviously, the intermediate railings in between, right, are the newly fabricated ones, and what that is doing is stretching. Right, because the challenge with the old historic rail is to get it to that 42 was how to handle either above or below. I don't think anybody was happy with the kind of solutions going around for above and below prior. So here I'm sitting now with the railing that we're looking at and trying to figure out the next steps.
Great, thanks.
Keep in mind this was done with
that
permit, in addition to the long list of things done with
that
permit. Not
Miles'
fault, but...
Well, at least they did a pretty good job
yes.
on this one.
Yeah.
As opposed to some of the other ones.
And as opposed to some of the other things that are going to commission, yes.
Okay, committee.
Yeah? I'm fine with it.
Yeah. You okay?
Yeah, I mean, the only thing I regret is that if the top and bottom rail are original, they've been chopped up, and the most interesting parts of them have been cut off.
Agreed.
I don't
remember.
Oh,
just ask again.
Okay. Is there any public comment on this proposal? I see no public comment.
Oh, you're right. The swoop. Yeah. Yeah, you're right.
Yeah, it's got that sort of curve.
Yeah.
Yeah, I forgot. Yeah.
It's the
very elegant.
This little.
Mm-hmm.
I forgot. Yeah.
Because that would have bridged.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Interesting.
Yeah, it's very elegant.
Was
very elegant. Less elegant now, but.
Okay. Is it time for a motion? Or would you like to add anything before we go to a motion? Okay.
Before the motion, I don't know if we explicitly talked about that half-inch bar that's being added on the second floor, but in my mind, that just seems like a BBSA thing, like it's just a half an inch. Or, like you said, Miles, I don't know how these are anchored to the stringers or the purlins, but maybe you can shim it up a half an inch.
I would shim it. I mean, that would be something underneath the historic rail, and a half an inch is not worth talking about.
I agree.
Okay. Motion? Thanks for bringing that back up. Yeah. I kind of lost it.
Sure. Matter of 327 Bourbon, I move to conceptually approve the cable railings with revisions based on today's discussion and to, I guess,
provide mock-ups for color.
Oh, and with mock-ups to be provided for color selection. For lack of a better word, I guess regretful approval of the rear stair millwork, acknowledging, noting that it's done fairly well, but lamenting that it could have been done a little better.
Could you accept an amendment to just stipulate that both rails on the front of the building be independent of the historic guardrails? This is a stipulation.
Yes.
Okay. Thank you. Is there a motion? Second for that motion?
A second.
All in favor say aye.
Aye.
It's approved. Thanks for coming in.
Thank you all.
And thanks for pushing this one over the finish line.
Wait, before we get to the next one.
Yes.
Is there anyone in here that is for the HGLC meeting? HGLC meeting is
7-4.
Okay,
thank
yep.
You. Oh, thank you.
Yeah, I saw you walk in and I was like, that's HGLC.
Okay, so we're going to move
thank
on
you,
to
823 Decatur.
823 Decatur. Do we have an applicant present?
Nope.
No applicant present.
I think we need one for that
one. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, we're not going to talk about this without. Was the applicant notified of the date and time of the meeting?
Yes. Unless he's sitting on the 7th floor. Should I go?
I just walked.
Okay.
No, I got confused. I was down.
Yeah.
Yeah, everybody's all over the place today. What's the pleasure of the committee?
I move we defer this till the next meeting.
Okay, is there a second? Because the applicant's not present.
Because the applicant is not present.
Okay. Is there a second for that motion?
Second now.
All in favor say aye.
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 Motion passes. We'll move on to, there's two listings under appeals and violations for 924 Ursuline Street. We'll take the first one first. Is there an applicant present?
Yes.
Okay, could we have the staff report for the first portion of this?
National Forest Ursuline is a green-rated main building. Is it proposed to retain deviations from approved plans for the renovated main building from materials received April 7, 2025? Staff notes that there are two applications for this property, one concerning the main building and one concerning the rear building. Proposed renovations for this property were reviewed between 2020 and 2022, with permits being issued for renovations to the main building in December of 2022. Recent site visits have shown some deviations from the approved plans. The deviations to the main building are somewhat limited and appear to be limited to the dormer windows, the second floor French doors, rear elevation doors, entrance keypad, and exterior lighting. The approved plans call for arch top wood windows to be installed at all four dormers. The previously existing conditions were square top windows in these openings, although the front dormer windows had atypically tall headers, and some early exploratory demolition seemed to indicate an arch top window was previously in at least the front dormer. Instead of the approved arch top windows, square windows were installed at all dormers. The rear dormer windows appear to match the previously existing, and staff does not object to their retention. Staff does note that a highly atypical vent has been installed in the header of one of the rear dormers. Staff recommends that this vent be rerouted either out of the roof of the dormer or through the cheek wall. The front windows, the square top windows have been installed, but the arches above these windows opened up. It appears the applicant intends to install fixed glass in the space above the windows. A design similar to this was presented at the May 10th, 2022 meeting, and staff noted that this would be atypical, but that a taller double-hung window with a square or round head would be considered as a more typical alternative. Staff did not find the current condition of the front dormer window appropriate. The approved plans show the second floor French doors as existing pre-light over single-panel doors, with the doors to be retained. The applicant notes that this was a drafting error, and the existing doors were actually 10-light doors that were restored and reinstalled. Staff has no objections to this aspect of the proposal. On the rear elevation of the main building, there was previously an atypical arrangement of three openings side by side. The approved plans included infilling the middle of these openings with wood lap siding and repairing the existing doors in the other two openings. Rather than having these existing doors repaired, new single over decorative panel doors were installed in these openings. This door was also installed in the rear elevation opening of the stair landing, which at one time would have led directly upstairs. This door at the landing was approved to be a wood four-panel door. Staff does not find this installed door style appropriate for these rear door openings or for this age of building. The installed doors are much more Victorian in design and would be appropriate for late 19th or 20th century buildings of similar design, not this circa 1835 Creole cottage. The submitted materials include a proposal for a new entrance keypad and intercom that staff does not believe has been installed yet. The materials note that once the entrance gate is restored, the intercom access will be installed attached to the left post. The proposed keypad appears to be of a style that may be approvable. However, staff requests more information on both the keypad and intercom. As there are only 4 units on this property, staff questions the necessity of an intercom system, or at least one of this size, approximately 12.5 inches tall by 4.5 inches wide. Lighting was not included in the approved plans, but has been installed throughout the main building. Fortunately, it appears the lighting locations are fairly consistent with the guidelines. Provided the fixtures using these locations are consistent with the lighting guidelines, staff has no objections to the retention of lighting on the main building. Although not previously discussed with the applicant or included in the proposed intentions, in preparing this report, staff notes an atypical condition where the slate on the rear slope meets the metal of the outer bump. A new slate roof was permitted and installed in 2024, but the metal roof remained. It does not appear that the connection between these two materials was properly flashed. Photos from prior to the installation of the new roof show that there was previously a wood board in this location with flashing installed under the slate and over the board. Now it appears the slate roof simply ends and there is a drop down to the metal roof with the exposed materials being simply roofing at the back. Staff recommends that this condition be improved to prevent water intrusion. In summary, staff's biggest concerns regarding deviations from the approved plans are the front elevation dormer window with bow arch heads, the atypical vent at the rear dormer header, all 3 doors on the rear elevation, the atypical roof connection between the slate and metal roofing. Staff recommends denial of the retention of these elements in their current forms and recommends that the applicant revise these elements to be consistent with the approved plans.
Thank you. I'd like to state your names, addresses, and relationship to the property, please.
My name is Troy Henry. This is my wife, Daniela Henry, and our contractor, Keldrick Smoot, of Smoot Construction.
Okay, and you are your addresses? You reside here?
No. Oh, we currently reside at 281 Oakmont Drive, New Orleans.
Okay. Do you have a response to the staff report you'd like to share with us? And remember, we're talking about the front building first, and we're going to talk about the rear building separately. So if you can just kind of focus on front building first.
Yeah. We kind of put together some of these items there, but it interspersed with sort of with the front and the back. So we put them in the order that the gentleman had sent them to us. We started with columns in the rear. And I apologize, I just had a hard time hearing what you were saying.
No, it's okay. I think, let me see if I can maybe break it down for you where it's like front and rear, you know?
I need 6 columns.
Hold on, let's see. Where are you?
So they gave it to us in a numbered fashion.
Okay, this
so
is rear.
Let's talk about the dormers first.
Dormers, lower deviation.
Front dormers.
Okay. Lower deviations, front dormers, here we
go. So would I be correct to say that we had a proposal for a decorative dormer window that was not installed, and that the second drawing we have,
the stamp drawing was
is the one that shows that
this was the stamp drawing. Yes.
Okay, and then what was installed was a 6x6 light with something with a blank
that
above.
Is current. What is installed?
Okay. Yes. So what's that plan for the arch top opening above this glass? Okay.
Glass.
And does
the
staff have any comment on the installation of the 6x6 light window? Just the way it's mulled into, I mean, or is it just
it's
the
not how
window?
We recommend.
And did it conform to the detail that was approved? Or
it doesn't match the approved drawings at all.
Okay.
Several dormers recently where instead of installing the sashes into a jamb, it was built as a unit.
Right, and then
inserted
it. That
unit was then inset into the dormer, and really none of them have been successful.
Is that, and that's kind of what you did here?
Well, we restored the existing portions of the window, and now we're going to purchase the arched portion.
So that's the original window that was in there? Okay, so you didn't take that one out?
To get restored.
Okay, but it's the same one that was in there. So that's the same window.
Instead of the 6x9.
Instead of the swoop heavy, yes. That window is the one you took out for sure, correct? Okay. So I'm trying to break it down here.
And so then you introduced I'm just trying to see
and
what...
And then they remove that wood panel at the top. Yeah.
And introduce a kind of a horizontal
there
element to act as a transom bar.
It was like that under the wood.
Got it. Okay.
Yeah.
Well, you have a beautiful...
This building was abandoned for like over 30 years, so it's been a tough money pit in many ways. So we're doing our best to kind of just preserve as much as we can while at the same point in time making it functional.
So I think that if you're going to kind of break down the interest of the commission in how these buildings are preserved, the part that's in the public sphere is probably most important.
Yes.
And what happens as you move further away from the street or the visible elevations may have less importance, especially when it comes to retaining historic fabric. And so I think that of all the different things that we're talking about today, these front dormer windows are probably the most important, especially considering the idea of the alternate solution to the round head. What does the committee think about that as a general approach to this?
I agree.
Okay. And for the staff, the rear elevation of the main house, that it was a cabinet arrangement with an open loggia between that was infilled at some time during the history of the building. And so what we're talking about is an area which is not original to the construction
right.
of the cottage.
Correct.
Is that correct?
We have photographs, there we go, of what that was, and I think what we're now seeing is not great.
Well, it probably was, but not those...
So was it like a dog trot?
No, it was just a porch that was...
Okay, I see. Gotcha, sorry.
So, committee, please help me go to the next step here.
Well, if we're still on the front dormers, I guess we have to figure out what to do with that arched section on the top. And I don't know how to resolve that detail with any kind of glazing.
Yeah. Well, so what I'd say is that and just to kind of follow Ms. Bertrand's comment, is that the proposal was very elegant and a restoration sash. I mean, it would be exactly what we would want to see in that opening. So now what we're trying to think about is...
But then we would have lost the historic component of restoring those windows, right?
Well, you would have... I think that if we really looked at those carefully, we'd likely learn that they weren't original to the building, that they may have been something that was installed when another window was lost. But we don't really know
that.
We
don't know, yeah.
So I think that the idea of a big piece of glass up there with an arched top is probably not the direction to go, only because it's the size of the glass alone is very much out of character with the age of the building. So it kind of conveys some idea that that is just totally not consistent with the original design. But a panel might be a good middle ground. Is that possible?
Like a wood panel?
Like a wood panel.
Yeah.
Eliminate
the arch.
Well, just leave the arch there, but just put a panel in it.
You could even do a fan panel.
Glass.
Like a wooden fan panel.
Right. So again, I think what we're really trying to do is come up with a solution here which kind of aligns what you have been working with the goals of the commission and the integrity of the house. And I think that we are of a mind here that a large glass panel in that shape would really leave a really wrong impression about the integrity of the house. But that it, as a middle ground, putting an opaque panel up there, maybe one that has a star panel or a radius panel pattern on it, might be a way to capture something without leading people's imagination too far astray. Is that something you could entertain?
I'm I'm not sure I'll follow you, but
it would be like a fan.
I understand.
Yeah, piece of wood. Yeah. I mean, we need to see it before you have it made or anything, but some, you know.
Is that, we're talking about the right thing?
Okay. Yeah.
Okay, good. Then let's I guess we can go on to the rear elevation. And
French door, how about French doors on the side?
Yeah.
I think that was an easy one. They just reinstalled what was there.
In which case
it was a drafting error in the
drawing. So I guess the whole thing here is when we looked at this originally, the aspiration to restore the house was something that we were really very enthusiastic about, but you can absolutely retain something that was there.
Yeah.
So always best to talk to the staff about that beforehand. But now how about the back elevation? It was a mess.
Back of the main house.
Back of the main house.
Back of the main house.
I think a mess is an understatement. This guy, he's been a magician getting this all day.
It's a great little house.
Can I keep talking?
Please.
Okay, so for this little enclosed cabinet, I think you kind of went a little overboard with the detailing of those doors. Those doors look more like what would be on the front door of a...
My house.
Of a... 1900s uptown house. They're very kind of Italianate in feel, or very Victorian in feel, and I mean the imagination here is, you know, somebody that enclosed that little porch at the right time might have dragged a couple front doors to the back and installed them, but they do really communicate a whole lot more decoration than is common on a Creole cottage. There you go.
They're beautiful doors.
They're beautiful doors.
And I think...
They're very expensive, I'm sure.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And
the other thing that about them, as I just look at them as best I can, is that they're kind of proportioned with contemporary proportioning rather than late 19th
wide.
Century proportioning. So they're clearly reproductions and not something that was actually hauled from another house, which I'm not sure if that is better or worse, but it does really kind of disturb what's going on with that elevation from a restoration point of view.
The openings, I don't think we expanded the openings.
It's the proportion of the actual millwork, like how big the lock rail is, you know, how wide the stiles are, just the way the door actually went together. I mean, I'm not going to tell you where you bought it, but it doesn't look like an old door. It looks like a new door that was made to look something like a historic door.
1990s bell bottoms instead of 1970s bell bottoms.
There you go. Something like that.
I was trying to get really creative in that area because it was so deteriorated. Even the brick, all that brick, whenever you moved anything, it all collapsed and fell away. That center portion right there was actually plastic with another third door that was in the center.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So we was just trying to improve everything.
And we totally understand that. It's just
the. And then we have this door off to the right hand side.
That was the one up the stairs.
Yeah. That one right there. What's going on with that one?
Doorway, but not door. Uh
huh. And that's an atypical location.
Yes.
I'm concerned about the. It looks like there's a step up to the door, which is a code violation.
Right.
Because that becomes sort of a life safety concern. It's a tripping hazard. And so the building code,
when you say a step up to the door,
typically the door would come all the way to the deck.
Yeah, you have to have a landing as you step out of the door.
So,
but if you brought up the balcony or whatever you call it, the landing, then it would cover the window.
What's in here? Is there a step?
Well, you could put a step that was perpendicular to the door. See, if you came in at perpendicular to the door, so you'd kind of step up onto a platform that was a level landing. But I'm just, this of all the different doors, this one is the most amazingly strange.
And Nick, correct me, these doors on this rear were supposed to be...
That was supposed to be a four-panel.
Four-panel.
So before we leave the idea though of this door, you know, this opening with this step, is this going to be a commercial real property? Because I'm concerned about, I don't want you to get too far down the road and then the fire marshal doesn't allow you to have the certificate of occupancy because this is against the code and you end up with a problem that you could deal with now while you're, you know, in the process instead of at the very end.
So question for you, and I'm not an architect, but so, you know, I think what the gentleman was saying is that if you could build a landing just
if you could pull that window. I think if you could pull that bottom stair out.
Perpendicular to the rear wall of the building, right there.
Mm-hmm.
So that'd be a riser, then you'd turn and have more risers.
And that would give you a landing.
Right. That's where I'm trying to go. And I didn't want this to be at the end. You're almost done, and you can't.
So
they will catch this. Okay.
They will.
I mean, there's a lot of problems here anyway, so...
My general feeling about this is that the doors in the center of the elevation being decorative and kind of unusual is an infill condition, but the door in this stair position is I think that one needs to be right.
I agree.
So you can get past the other two.
I'm trying. I'm working at it. Yeah.
I mean, it is clearly an infill, and so it wouldn't have been original anyhow.
And simple.
Very simple. Like a four-panel door, like a batten door.
Right.
A batten door would be best, actually. Very inexpensive to fabricate. But this just communicates too much about a 19 or 2020 front door.
You know, that's an entrance to the upstairs.
Absolutely. But it's also the back of the building in a very subservient position, which is a traditional position. So I think that you really need to keep to the program on this one. The others you can kind of explain away because it's an infill condition. Things have changed over time in this location.
He's referring to the front building, not the rear.
No, I'm not talking about the rear building at all, but it's that door right there.
Correct. Which is these two doors right here.
So those were, I mean, my thinking is that those are, that one, that is the one where I'm kind of being a little bit slow.
Yep.
No, it
Stephen,
needs to be what was approved.
Are you feeling the same way?
I'm open to compromise.
It's an ideal.
Here we go. Four, I'm going
to write it on here. Staff, are we moving in a direction which seems workable?
Yes.
Okay. And what we're doing here is we're really working overtime to kind of understand where you came from, what you've been trying to accomplish, and to work with you in a way to make the building as good as it possibly can be, but to also maintain its authenticity, because this is a very special building, and there's a lot of responsibility that goes along with owning a really special building. So is there any public comment on this discussion so far? I see no public comment. Committee, are we ready to make a motion?
Nick, can we hit every item on the front building?
No.
I mean, the keypad and intercom.
Staff level?
Staff level, please.
If we eliminate the intercom, I think we'd be good.
Would you be willing to work with the staff about the intercom, the actual technology of the intercom?
Yes.
I think I'd like to make this one as simple. And this is a flashing detail that you just got to do. I mean, if you don't have a transition between those two roofs, it's good.
What is this?
That's...
Okay, so that's coming out.
Yeah.
Okay.
One thing I want to ask a question about some suggestion that was made accepted was... talking with inspectors and stuff, who's wondering because of the insulation that's been installed at that top window to the left where that vent protrudes out, would it be acceptable if we painted the color of that vent the same color as the exterior?
Oh, yeah.
Yes, I agree.
See, as a designer, you are great.
Okay. So let's put it this way. Is there a motion in the matter of the front building for 924 Ursuline? Please. And are you ready? Are you prepared? Or do you want me to?
I can do it.
There's a lot of moving parts.
I know there's a lot of moving parts.
Yeah. And
we can do this together.
This is just the front building.
Yeah. One, two, three, four, five.
Okay.
All right, we have a motion.
In the matter of 924-26 First Lines, I move to adopt the staff recommendation and staff report with the exception of the two ground level rear doors, allowing those to be retained. Part of that adoption of the staff report, the proviso that the third rear door up on the upper landing be replaced with a more appropriate simple door to be reviewed at the staff level. For the rear dormer, looks like a bath vent to be relocated and work with the staff on a new location. For flashing to be installed at the roof where it meets, where slate meets metal. And for the front elevation arched heads, for the applicant to send a revised proposal that includes a solid wood.
And did we get the
side doors,
the side French doors?
And retention of the side French doors, which staff did not object to.
Do I have a second for that motion?
Do we need to add that the staff will work with him on the keypad?
Yes.
Okay.
Small interruption. Are the doors to be painted?
Absolutely.
Oh, the back doors, yes.
I like that in the motion, because I'm not sure if they...
The rear retarded tear doors be painted rather than left as exposed wood.
Would you accept those modifications?
I do.
Okay. We have a second?
I second.
Do all in favor say aye?
Aye.
The motion passes. Okay, now we're going to move on to the rear building. So thanks. We're going to call it again. 924-26 Ursuline rear building. Can we have the staff report, please?
This is a proposal to obtain deviations from approved plans for the renovated rear building from materials received April 7, 2025. Staff notes that there are two updates for this property, with one concerning the main building and one concerning the rear building. Like the main building, proposed renovations for this property were reviewed between 2020 and 2022, with permits being issued for renovations to the main building in December of 2022. Deviations from the approved plans in the rear building are more widespread and significant compared to the main building and include major changes to the balcony, changes to doors, and exterior lighting. Unpermitted changes to this balcony include the removal of the 7-foot columns, installation of an inappropriate guardrail, enclosing the underside of the balcony, and installing atypical gutters around the outside of the balcony. The approved plans called for the existing historic columns of the rear building to be repaired. Instead, the applicant notes that they would have been a walkway width of less than 24 inches with the columns in their historic location, so they chose to completely remove the historic 8x4 columns and install new 6x6 rail posts for egress purposes. As no measured drawings were provided regarding this detail, it is unclear what the realized change in width of the, on the balcony ended up being. When measured on the approved plan, this width measured at 3 feet 6 inches. Either way, staff knows that the width of this balcony was never discussed, and staff has no record of this being some requirement for safety and permits. The removal of the columns completely changes the look of this important rear building. The approved plans for the installation of a typical bird feed style railing, very similar to handrail number 2 from BCC standard detail sheets. Staff notes that prior to renovations of this property, remnants of the style of guardrail were present on the building. Rather than install this type of guardrail, something very similar to what is labeled in the guidelines as wood deck balustrade was installed. This style of balustrade is explicitly noted as not approved in the guidelines. The only work noted in the approved plans regarding the underside of the balcony was typical repair and paint and the installation of 3 new light fixtures. Instead, the underside of the balcony was enclosed in beadboard and 4 new recessed lights installed. It appears this work significantly increased the depth of the balcony structure. This is particularly evident when looking at the wall height above the openings comparing before and after photos. Although it is not uncommon to see the underside of certain balconies enclosed, this detail was never discussed and the added structure has a ripple effect on the other aspects of the building. In addition to these unpermitted changes to the balcony, gutters have been installed around the balcony fascia. The submitted materials note that these gutters were installed to reduce the amount of dripping on the first floor entrance area in the courtyard. Staff knows that there are gutters at the roof level directly above, so these balcony level gutters would only catch wind-driven rain blown into them or onto the balcony. Staff finds the functional effects of the gutter is likely minimal, and it is highly atypical to have gutters wrapping a balcony in this fashion. Like at the rear of the main building, new matching single light over decorative panel doors were installed in all door openings of the rear building. The approved plans call for the installation of typical wood French doors in these openings. Early site visit photographs show that this door style was present in the building and is the typical door style seen on this building type. Just as with the main building, staff does not find this installed door style appropriate for these door openings or for this age of building. The approved plans for this building did include new exterior lighting, with three fixtures approved for installation centered between the balcony posts at the second floor, and three fixtures in matching locations under the balcony. The submitted materials note that the lights in these locations, as approved, would have been shattered by the columns. Instead, four fixtures were installed at each level, with the fixtures centered over the openings at the second floor, and three of the four fixtures at the first floor over openings. The fourth first floor fixture appears to be centered between openings. If there were no columns on this building, the lighting guidelines would recommend locating fixtures in similar locations as installed here. However, this building had columns, so the guidelines recommend locating fixtures between the column bays. In summary, staff's biggest concerns regarding deviations from the approved plans for the rear building are the numerous unpermitted changes to the balcony and the all-new doors on the rear building. Staff recommends denial of the retention of these elements in their current forms and recommends that the applicant revise these elements to be consistent with the approved plans.
Okay. Would you like to make a statement, make a presentation or a response to the staff report?
Sure.
And we'll just note for the record that the same applicant, same contractor.
I'm sorry, say it again.
I'm just for the record, we're noting the same applicant, same contractor as the previous application.
Sure. How do you want to sequence it?
Let's talk about the columns, the guardrail, and the soffit. So we're talking about the balcony first.
So when we intend to make this into a functional property, and having less than 24 inches of walkway, we didn't think was safe, secure, or appropriate. I don't know what was code written. My contract can tell you about the code components to it, but the house sort of leans a little bit backwards. And so if you put the columns, kept the columns where they were, you're going to have less than 24 inches of walkway. If you put the columns at a normal walkway of 30 inches, it didn't connect with.
So it's out further, the whole balcony depth is deeper than what it was.
Yeah, the top of the building tends to lean back at this way. So these columns run straight along up. They're going to meet straight out. They're not even going to meet the top because this portion has to pull back. So what we did was reinforce the overhang,
right,
and double system member it to make it straighten up to where it actually, that overhang actually supports the stand itself. So the columns wouldn't even, they would only offer a fashionable look. They would not even offer any kind of structural support.
But the balcony depth is deeper now than what it used to be?
It's now 30 inches.
Gotcha.
Yeah. Yes.
Which I think is good.
Yeah, with the width of those columns, it's going to shrink even more when the walk path.
That's some big changes.
Yeah.
Bring it back.
But you had proof plan. You should have.
So this has gone to safety.
I have one more question. Nick, can you go back?
Which one?
To that picture. Have those AC units been removed from that wall?
Yes. Absolutely.
Okay. Yeah, because that's not your wall.
Yeah.
Okay. And she's difficult.
So this has gone to safety and permits?
They have the safety and permits approved the plans that we approved, and none of this is the same.
Okay.
As the plans that were approved. So I don't think safety and permits is seen that.
And how many units are going to be in this place?
It's going to be commercial.
Right. So it's going to require fire marshal review.
It's going to require safety and permits. It's going to require fire marshal.
And and either end is egress. It's not just egress at the end where the stairs are.
Yes.
Is that two units up there or just one?
One on the bottom, one on the top.
Right.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
On the bottom, one on the top.
So technically, probably you don't even need that width on that gallery, right? You just need it at the landing.
Who's the architect?
What was her name? It's on the application.
Lynette Gordon.
Yeah.
Okay. So this is one of those ones where, like with the last one, but especially with this one, where communication is really important. Because what has been done here is a substantial change to important historic fabric in the building. And where I've heard assertions about this and that, we don't really have documentation to support that. And so it's difficult for me to fully appreciate why this change was made, especially to really important historic fabric.
We're talking about columns?
Columns, guardrail, soffit is what we're talking about.
With
right
the,
now.
The
whole thing. And the gutter running around. It's just, I have difficulty here because you're kind of out there making decisions by yourself. And it's that's one thing, but you really weren't taking the building into account. The building has a lot of status here. It's older than all of us. It's precious. It's unique. And you kind of changed it a lot. And that's something that this commission is established to prevent. And so when we were talking about the front, all of those changes could be explained within the context of the history of the building, what you found when you were working on it initially, and then, you know, as it kind of happened. And the one thing that we really focused on was, I think, important, and you were able to agree with us. Here I'm having more difficulty explaining away these changes.
So can we talk first about the depth of the block? I don't understand. If you guys want us to have a 22-inch walkway, you can tell me if you think that's more safe.
No. Okay, just a second. I can handle this.
Okay.
This is where communication is important. If you came up against something and said, hey, look, I have a drafting error here. I need 36 inches. I only have 22 inches. You come and talk to the staff. And the staff talks to safety and permits. They talk to us. They talk. And we figure out something because we want this building to be in service. But we also want to maintain the integrity of the building as we make that change. And what we have now is, you know, you may or may not have hit your building code targets, we don't know, but you certainly haven't hit the preservation targets at all. And so what I would like to ask the staff if you would be willing to spend a couple weeks talking with the applicant about this.
The back building.
Yeah. The back building, and maybe talk about this, because I don't see any way that this committee can approve these changes. I'm going to speak for the committee here.
Right, and I'm going to guess that balcony is not an exterior corridor, right? So it doesn't need to comply.
That's
a safety and permits issue, but...
ours is the preservation issue.
The aspect of safety and permits is a whole other ball of wax.
Right, but what I'm saying is that...
any of these deviations.
Right, but if that's not exterior egress... that is essentially just an interior walkway because you don't need that to get out. You could get out that door right by the...
more than one exit?
We're not going to answer building code questions. Because
again, it's too small for... tiny.
I doubt it that you do.
Yeah.
Because it's rescuable, blah,
right.
blah, blah. We're all three architects, so we know about this stuff. But we're not really talking about code right now. We're talking about preservation. Would you be willing to talk with the staff between now and the next meeting? Just to come up with something where we find out where your latitude is. But I think that all of these items, the columns, the guardrail, the soffit, the balcony gutter, it's got to go. I mean, I'm just going to tell you, it's got to go. And then the doors.
How about the doors?
The doors.
The doors.
The doors are, these are all real problems.
Yeah.
That, I mean, I don't want to send you away with a denial if we have a room where we can get this to a point where we're talking about the preservation of a very important piece of architecture.
If I may, though, I don't want to waste this applicant's time. I mean, obviously, I think we are where we are regarding the depth of the balcony. And, you know, short of this committee denying the reconstruction of the balcony at this depth, the staff is not going to be able to talk them into something different. So,
but I'm talking about compromise. And so
I understand that, Rick, but I don't know how to compromise on the depth and the balcony as built.
I don't know that that would necessarily be the compromise, but maybe the rail.
That's why that's what I'm looking for. I'm looking for some guidance from.
I want the committee to be very clear about what is sort of immutable here. I don't want to misrepresent what the staff, you know, a conversation with the staff is going to be able to provide.
I understand that. And just like we talked through all the issues with the front building, I feel certain that the staff can probably identify the things that are most important about the preservation of this building and help us appreciate where compromise is possible.
We'll bring that back to you.
Thank you.
I have a quick question, too. Is the balcony deck, is that tongue and groove still? That tongue and groove decking?
So it's not aratus or something else?
And it's not, it doesn't have any kind of like liquid or applied membrane on top of it?
I think you just need to go out there and talk about it.
We'll be
okay. So is there any public comment about the rear building discussion today? I don't see any public comment. Does the committee agree that allowing a deferral for some further discussion?
Yes.
Reasonable approach here?
I do. I do have a question for the applicant, though, because I'm looking at slide 202. And just wondering, was the whole balcony reconstructed? Was it like...
That was my question, too.
Completely pulled off?
I was concerned about the actual structural integrity of the balcony. Did you rebuild those joists? The outriggers, all of that?
That's all still.
It's still original. Okay, so you didn't mess with anything that was going into the wall. Okay. I questioned that as well.
So you just sistered on them to extend
them
out?
Yes, and extend them out to...
And that's why you put the soffit in.
That's why the soffit's in there. And to put the lighting in.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
If any of those are visible or could be removed, then they could be dimensioned to substantiate the position that we didn't have enough width. And then I think, you know, probably some documentation from the architect who says this is the way it's got to be or whatever.
I take it this architect is no longer involved.
Okay. Or a different architect.
That was the general feeling.
And I would point out, you know, like we were talking about how, you know, the street facade is sort of the most important facade, and then I think that's good to keep in mind here is that, you know, you're the different layers of integrity for the building, but also the service building, which is this rear building, would just be less ostentatious. Not that any of it is ostentatious, but you would have
like the door design.
Yeah, the doors in particular.
So, question for you on that, though. Because that will be installing dormers to cover each of those, reinstalling the dormers to cover each of those.
Shutters. Shutters. On the windows or the doors?
Both.
That's what the drawings show.
Yes.
And those are the original restored shutters.
Yes.
Does that matter?
Which is exactly why those doors...
Well, it's a component of... I mean, as we're talking about this, one of the principal concepts here is you keep old stuff, you don't throw it away. So the fact that you still have the original shutters is good.
Right.
It doesn't necessarily mitigate the other things that happened here, but it certainly is a good thing. It's exactly what we want you to do. But I think that this is something where, as I said before, communication, as you encounter these problems or these issues in construction, is the way to not end up at this place. But I'd also like to say that as you're talking with the staff about this, that just know that these are things that the commission doesn't like to compromise on. The core purpose of this commission is to preserve buildings like this. And so when you're talking with the staff, please do that with the mind that the goals are very clear and that we're just trying to give you the opportunity to kind of prioritize what your needs are in relation to the commission. Do we have a motion for deferral?
Yeah, in the matter of 924-26 Earth's Lines, I move to adopt the staff's positions in the staff report and defer to allow the applicant to work with staff to resolve the various items.
Thank you. Do I have a second for that motion?
A second.
All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Motion passes. Thanks for coming in today. We look forward to talking with you again once you've had a chance to talk with the staff.
We'll reach out and send them a description of all of this and schedule meetings.
I'm gonna walk out.
Thanks so much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Next item is 623 St. Peter Street. Do we have an applicant present?
Yes, present. Before the reading of the staff report, we've requested deferral of this.
Okay.
Okay.
Because you're not prepared?
We got the staff report. We reviewed it with the owner. The owner had lots of questions internal to us. We thought it would be in our best step forward to resolve some of the things in the report.
Great idea.
Excellent.
More to solve some.
Do we have a deferral at the request of the owner, of the owner's representative? Thank you, Miles.
I so move.
I'll second that.
All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Okay, so we'll move on to 83133 Delphine Street. Do we have an applicant present?
Yes.
There's the only people left in the room, or virtually speaking. And you were here first, sir, and you're here the longest. You're the last person. Okay. All right. We have a staff report for 83133 Delphine Street.
All right, 83133 Delphine Street is a blue-rated main building and two detached kitchens. This is an appeal to retain metal parapet cap flashing for application materials received April 29th, 2024 and April 8th, 2025, respectively. As noted by staff when the application for renovation was submitted, the existing metal cap flashing remains in violation on the detached kitchen buildings and must be addressed as part of this submittal. The applicant is appealing to retain the cap flashing as no significant roof work is proposed as part of the scope. In 2018, the former owner appealed to retain the metal cap flashing on all three buildings. As a test case on the main building, the committee approved a proposal to remove the horizontal loop portions of the metal cap to inspect the underlying conditions, with this portion to be replaced with a mortar cap. This was considered successful as it greatly improved the appearance and ensured that no water intrusion was occurring at the horizontal portions of the wall. The slope portion of the main building cap was approved for temporary retention in 2019 until either the cap flashing or the roof requires replacement. The cap flashing on the rear of the main building and the kitchen buildings were not addressed. Staff notes that because of the blue rating of the property, commission approval is required for any appeal to retain, that the commission requests comment on the architectural appropriateness of the appeal from the architecture committee. Staff does not find retention of the metal cap flashing as is to be in keeping with the design guidelines. Metal cap flashing is not considered to be approvable for historic buildings in the district as it is historically inappropriate, visually obtrusive, and often leads to water intrusion since sheet metal is not adequate to keep water out of a wall built from a regularly sized masonry. However, since no significant roof work has been performed at this time, staff does not find it inappropriate to recommend the committee's decision from 2019 be completed throughout the property. If the horizontal boot portions of the cap flashing are removed from the rear of the main building and from each of the detached kitchen buildings, and is replaced with a mortar cap, the slope portions of the metal cap may be temporarily approved for retention until the roof requires replacement. Staff seeks the guidance of the committee regarding that recommendation from staff. Note, there's loose metal flashing and terracotta ridge tiles on the ridges of the kitchen buildings during the previous inspection. The ridge tiles should be removed as they're inappropriate in this application, and the metal flashing should be secured. This repair should be noted on the roof plan, even if other roof repairs are not needed at this time.
Thank you.
I think y'all may not have seen those angles either. So,
would you like to state your name and address in relationship to the property?
Sure. Charles Nere, architect, 1200 Annunciation.
Matt Flagg, partial owner, designer.
And in talking with owners, the staff's recommendation to remove the metal boot portion and the rest of the property and rework that as water cap is acceptable for them as well. So we're okay with that recommendation.
That makes it awfully easy.
It does.
I mean, we were ready for a big argument.
Such great properties.
Yeah, it's gorgeous.
Yes. Yeah.
Okay. Committee, any questions for the applicant? They've agreed with the staff recommendation.
No.
And you appreciate that this is a temporary approval for the cap flashing on the parapets.
Question for the staff. You've noted loose terracotta ridge tiles on the kitchen building. If they are to be removed, do they need to be replaced with some kind of, maybe y'all don't know, that I would assume that we probably have a gap that needs to be flashed. What typically do we see there?
So normally we would see a metal counter flashing in that application. And it does appear that there is a metal flashing there that is just under the terracotta and kind of loose and maybe not stuck. I think it needs to be investigated further, but that's definitely not the detail as we would typically prefer.
And that's not part of our current citation.
No, it is part of the violation, yeah.
Is that something you can address?
Yeah, you can address that as well. Reach back.
Okay. Does that satisfy you?
Yep.
For the time being? Okay. Is there any public comment on this proposal? I see hardly any public. No comment. And nothing else from you before we go to a motion? Okay. Is there a motion in the matter of 831 through 33 Dauphine Street?
Yes, in the matter of 831 to 33 Dauphine, I move to adopt the staff report, noting the applicant is amenable to staff's proposal to remove the horizontal boot portions of the parapet cap flashing, for the applicant to work with staff on any final details needed to perform that work and the work at the kitchen ridge tiles.
Thank you. Is there a second for that motion?
A second.
All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Sir?
He said, passes. I heard it.
Thank you so much for coming in. I didn't hear it. Okay.
He's quiet.
Last item on our agenda today is 733 Toulouse. We have a long, very patient last applicant. Could we have a staff report, please?
733 Toulouse is a green rate of main building and rear building. This is an appeal to retain work without permit, including millwork, cap flashing, and HVAC equipment, and proposing to modify millwork, fence, and hardware for application materials received June 18th, 2024. And November 19th, 2024, respectively. The applicant is proposing the following work to address violations on the property as follows. A fence separating 733 Toulouse from 727 is proposed for removal with a new gate to be installed at 727. Staff notes that an application for this work must be submitted under the 727 Toulouse address, and detailed dimensions and scale drawings must be submitted for the new gate. The applicant is appealing to retain multiple HVAC units scattered around the property, including three mini splits installed on a large platform mounted to the sidewalls of 733 Toulouse under the balcony. This platform was previously approved by a committee, but it was supposed to include screening. A 5-ton unit on a wood platform behind the gate and fence proposed for removal. No specs or sound data have been provided. Metal cap flashing was installed on the main building and service cell by a previous owner. The applicant stated that it is functioning and they wish to retain it. Staff finds it to have been haphazardly installed and at risk of allowing water intrusion. Partial specs have been provided for keypad, but it is unclear where the hardware is proposed to be installed or how many. The manufacturer is not noted, but from preliminary review of the unit, it may be approvable. A diagram for camera placement has been provided, but no specs for equipment. It appears from the diagram that the wall-mounted locations are being proposed, that they are all below balconies or galleries. The equipment should be socket mounted if possible, and any dumb cameras that are less than 6 inches in diameter are likely to be approved. Specs have been provided for light fixtures, which are too large for the design and lighting guidelines. It is also unclear where these are to be installed. Staff recommends the applicant select a fixture that is within the 3-inch diameter by 7-inch long requirement and provide a lighting plan. Millwork modifications are proposed in numerous locations, but it is unclear whether they will be taking place. The millwork that is there is approvable for retention or modification, or if the proposed work meets the guideline. Staff requests a more complete proposal for review. An opening at the side first floor elevation of the main building has been bricked in, which the applicant is appealing to the removal and enclosure of openings is discouraged per the guidelines. Staff finds the proposal to be confusing and incomplete and has asked that the applicant consult a design professional to provide a complete scope of work with corresponding drawings and supplemental materials as needed. Several items, including lighting and cameras, can be handled at staff level if the proposal is clear and comprehensive. All items involving HVAC, millwork, cap flashing, and wall enclosure will require committee review once a complete proposal is submitted.
Great, thank you. Could you state your name and address in relationship to the property, please?
Gary Betancourt, owner of Bourbon Toulouse, LLC, which is located at this address, 733 Toulouse.
Okay. Thanks for being so patient today. Do you have a presentation that you'd like to share with us or a response to the staff report?
I have resubmitted more documentation, or I'm sorry, revised I did submit a revised proposal, which this is not. And I did that, I don't know, maybe a month ago.
I don't think I ever received that.
And it's on the One Stop.
Okay. The One Stop doesn't notify us when the documents are added, so I had no way to know that anything had been uploaded. So, yeah.
And I do have copies.
Seems like a flaw in the system.
How am I, where am I supposed to send the revised documentation?
To me by email. We've been discussing. So I'm Erin. Yeah, you can just email it to me, or if you need to upload them to One Stop, just send me an email and let me know they're there.
Okay. Yeah, I just sent them to One Stop, the revised drawings, photographs, a little extra, you know, information where, you know, I'm asking to retain a bunch of stuff.
Is that a copy?
This is it.
Okay. I think that since you've kind of addressed. At least engage the staff, but we haven't, weren't aware of it.
Yeah, we've been talking back and forth for several months.
This does look very, looks like what's in the PowerPoint.
Maybe combined with some of the old stuff from the PowerPoint.
Yeah, there's like one picture in here that I haven't seen. The rest of it's all the same as what's in here.
I think we need to defer,
see,
huh?
These photos are,
I don't know what we have.
Photos of this.
Yeah, it's still just not enough context,
Steven.
And not enough as
Steven.
Far as the drawings. Like, I'm still just not clear what we're really being asked to.
All right, and so my descriptions of what I'm asking is also in that or not.
Okay. I still think we need something that's more from a design professional because it's not. This is not really conveying what the end product is going to be and what we're being asked to approve, especially with the millwork.
There's no drawings. When you draw.
And specifications.
Yeah.
More information about the mechanical equipment.
We need dimensions.
And I thought
can
that
you flash
know,
up
maybe it was worth
slide 275
to discuss, you know, some of these to get new guidance from the community.
Yes.
It's still just very unclear. Descriptions help, but we need more visual representation.
Rick asked for this one.
Yeah, you know, I think that you know you sat through a long meeting, and so you probably appreciate kind of what we're talking about. And I hate to do this, but I'm going to recommend that we defer this to give you a chance to really. Talk with the staff about what the goals are, what the meaning of these their report is, and how it might correspond to what you're asking to retain. Because frankly, you know, based on what I'm seeing in the packet that was provided to us, we don't have a lot of information to base any kind of decision on. To me, it's not really clear. Would that be a adequate summary from again what you need to do to us is give us enough information so we can actually just talk about something and possibly agree with you or give you some kind of reasoned response where we're giving you information about why we're disagreeing with you. But right now I don't really have that basis for giving you a good response. I'm sorry for that.
It's no problem. It's a learning curve for me. I appreciate y'all's feedback. I did revise stuff. I did put explanations with dimensions and measurements and stuff. And now, and I'm still looking at these the explanation. That's not my revision.
That's why we're probably in a difficult situation.
Erin, I'll go ahead and email it to you, and we'll go ahead and just if you can help guide me and let me know. I do not have the money to pay for, you know, a professional designer or architect. I'm requesting to remove a fence, put a shutter up, put cameras up and lights. I'm a self-contractor.
Sure.
I do all the work myself. I'm very stretched on finances. This $3 million building is costing me a lot of money.
Yeah.
Well, what I'll say is
$50,000 a year just in taxes and insurance.
Is that annotated photographs can go a long ways towards substituting for drawings. But there are some things that will have to be drawn. But the staff can kind of direct you to those things. And they're
just wondering when that happens.
Not so technical that you might not be able to prepare them yourself.
I do want to be clear, though, that the staff is not going to do the drawings.
Right.
Yeah. Okay.
Okay.
But you can explain, where it's important to have scalar drawings so that we can understand the size of, say, an air conditioning unit, in relation to the scale of the entire elevation and the doors and the windows, so that we can see how it is affecting the visual aspect of the building.
It's still, this doesn't really give a lot of context to understand.
Right.
I can't look at this door and understand if I can recommend retention or modification because I don't know how prominent this door is because I don't know where it is. If this is something that's in an alley that nobody's ever going to see unless they're taking trash out, that might be one thing, but if it's...
I'll definitely take more explanation. I do have more pictures of the alleyway. I also did my hand drawings that clearly states position, everything.
Well, so maybe what you want to do is, again, you've seen what we do at this committee, and if you help us appreciate, put a number on the photograph and a number on the elevation so we know what corresponds or something, so you can kind of lead us into this.
I will add that as extra, I put lower level, side door, rear, back. I made all those corrections and everything, which is
never... Yeah, again, if you work with
redo all of
them. If you, work with the staff, and they'll help you get it ready for us to look at. But again, like we on the cottage, we have very clear guidelines to follow, and so coming again doesn't necessarily mean that we're going to modify the guidelines necessarily. I mean, we're just going to talk about things specifically so you have a clear idea of what your latitude is to either correct or appeal a decision.
I appreciate the help.
For example, this alone, this is not approvable. These shutters have to go.
That's right. So I revised it.
Yeah.
And I explained to it.
So that's just an example. I'm just
photos of it being corrected and
it's already been
they've been removed.
Okay.
Because they were just
topically screwed. Exactly.
Right.
There is no depth actually for the
And that's fine. This was an example.
I did new pictures, submit new pictures with you.
So we're not sharing all the correct information here. So we need a pause just to make sure that you can work with the staff. Staff, I do have a question for you. Can you go to slide 276? Do we know when this guardrail was changed? When it was altered?
I will look into it. I know that is something that was discussed in a previous committee report. And I did not read through the whole thing. I know that it was not cited as a violation of this, so I suspect that it was either permitted or grandfathered.
Okay.
This was we had it permitted 5 or 6 years ago where it was so low.
Sure. Oh, absolutely.
The architect, and at that time I did have an architect, and they came in and we got a permit to add a lower.
To just raise the whole thing up and add a bar on the bottom.
That was a strategy that was attempted and more successful.
Sure. No, I was just curious about that.
Okay.
Gary, I would still, even though this, what is here is different than what I was reviewing, I would still go through all these bullet points and make sure that all of that is included in here before we, kind of move forward, because there's still a lot of information that's just missing.
So, could I have a motion for deferral? I'm sorry.
For a motion, I'll just clarify that I think staff's suggestion that you engage with a design professional is just saying that kind of the gold standard for communicating here is plans and elevations. And if you can generate a good site plan, I don't know where the fence is that we're talking about, but if there's a site plan that says, hey, here's the fence, that would go a long way. To just sort of giving us a table of contents of how we're addressing all these different items.
And I definitely take that as a note, and I will reiterated more, but I did do that in the revised.
I saw that was okay. That's in there for the fence. At this point, really, what we need is drawings for the gate, because at this point we have no idea. You know, there's a million different ways that you can design a gate, and so just saying add gate doesn't really tell us what you're wanting to do.
I was just going to add the one that's existing next to it. There's going to be a copy of that, but I will state that.
Then provide a picture.
Yeah.
Like both sides. So
yeah.
You can kind of see how it's mounted, see how it's attached, all of that. You know, because it's important to look at those details.
We speak a very visual language here.
Otherwise, we can't be sure that we're approving what you're thinking, and then you build it, and then we look at it and go, that's not what we thought we were approving. So we need to have something visual that we're stamping so that everybody knows this is what's going to happen. This is what's going to happen.
No, not everyone.
Well, right.
But that's a different issue.
Right.
Do I have a motion for deferral to allow the applicant to work with the staff to clarify proposals and responses to violations?
Yes, the matter 733 Toulouse, I move to defer to allow the applicant to work with the staff to further refine and present the proposal.
Thank you. Do I have a second for that motion?
I second.
Thank you.
I'll just send one.
By email.
All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Question?
Sure.
Next week I have a hearing about all of this.
You're going to have to email Noah about that.
Yeah, and that's really not part of this committee's...
It's the adjudication hearing. Email Noah, please.
Okay. Email us all about this stuff.
Yes, it's a separate process. Because we're looking at the architectural stuff. They're looking at the actual violation, what has been done from a legal perspective to correct it. If it's still outstanding, we're looking just at the architectural
concerns.
All right, thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
We come to the end of the agenda. Do I have a motion to adjourn?
Do we need to discuss this?
Under
yeah.
Other business.
We're not doing. We have pushed that to the next.
Okay.
I printed the wrong one. It's
my fault. Oh. Do I have a motion to adjourn?
I move to adjourn.
I second.
All in favor, say aye.
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 We have adjourned.